Yeah, well, I want to welcome each and every one of you present here. We completed our Revelation series. Amen. Yes. I hope you were blessed by it.
Amen. Amen.
And so now we're going to talk about different things. I have a very special message. I was focusing on a totally different message, and I couldn't put it together. And it's really something when the Lord drops something into your spirit, and it becomes easy. Amen? So I thank each and every one of you that are here. I think each and every one of you need to hear this message. I needed to hear this message, and I believe that I feel sorry for those that are missing this message, because this message will impact everyone.
Amen.
Everyone. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start by asking you a question. Amen. And this is the question. During the course of your life, have you been wounded? Have you been wounded? Physically, yeah. Emotionally. Have you been wounded? Amen?
Yes.
Have you been wounded by the actions of those you love? Amen?
Amen.
By the actions of those you trusted? Amen? Let's go to a scripture. Let's go to Proverbs 18:14. And I'm going to go there right with you. Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14. It reads, I have the English Standard Version, and it reads, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Mm. Yes, God is our healer. We go through sickness. We declare God is our healer, and he heals us. But what...
Okay.
Who can be a crushed spirit? Who can bear a wounded spirit? Have you been there? Has your spirit been crushed by someone?
Yes.
See, I'm talking about deep emotional wounds. Amen? I'm talking about negative experiences.
Amen. Amen.
From my past. And many a times we have not resolved this, these experiences. What have we done? We've buried them, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've buried them. We don't even want to go there mentally. I've been there. I've been there. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that each and every one of us here has gone through something mm-hmm. that has left us wounded in our spirit, wounded. Amen.
Amen.
So what I want to talk to you today is about inner healing. Inner healing.
Mm-hmm.
What are we? What are we? We're wounded soldiers in the army of Christ, aren't mm-hmm. we? We're wounded soldiers in the army of Christ. And you know that if a soldier is in the battlefield and he's wounded, he's really ineffective. Jesus. So I'm gonna share about inner healing. I wanna share what do we do about this? And let me tell you, you know what inner healing refers to? Inner healing is simply the term or the process of addressing and resolving deep emotional wounds. Those wounds, you know, those experiences that have negatively affected us, negatively impacted us. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there. I believe everyone here has been there. So what has happened? This is a major one. This is a major one. Were you molested as a child? Mm-hmm. Were you molested as a child by someone you loved, someone you trusted, someone your family loved? Were you severely beaten as a child? The people that you loved and you trusted, did they severely beaten? Did they have no compassion on you? Were you rejected as a child or as an adult? Were you rejected? Did you feel rejected? Did you feel rejected by a parent? Did you feel that your parent loved somebody else more than you? That's a feeling of rejection, whether it's true or not. These are wounds that we have. Were you rejected by a husband, a wife? I know this is hard for people to hear, but these things happen in everyday life. Did the husband you marry turn out not to be what you expected? Did the wife you marry turn out to be what you didn't expect? Were you rejected by someone you loved that wounds your spirit? That's a deep wound. Rejection is a major wound that people walk around with. Another one is abandonment. Were you abandoned as a child? Did your father leave? I can relate to that. Did your mother leave? Many a times you feel abandoned, but it's not up here in the subconscious mind. It's in your spirit. You feel abandoned. It's in your soul. You feel abandoned. Another big one is, did you walk around feeling that you were being compared to others? That people were not really seeing you, but they were looking at others and seeing how you measured up to others. Those are wounds that we carry around. These are wounds that impact us. Amen. What happens? These things you carry and you bury until they're no longer in your conscious mind. You've buried them so well, they're no longer there. But what is the result? What happens when we bury these things? Do you realize that because of the things that you have endured, that I have endured in our past, we are oppressed? You don't realize that you're walking into a spirit of oppression, and you don't even realize that? We don't even realize that? Mm-hmm. Do you realize that your actions and your reactions to things that are occurring presently in your life are affected by what you've experienced? Do you realize that? Do you realize that we oppress others based on something that we don't even know we've buried and we still have there? That we oppress others? Do you know that this oppression makes you feel, you don't even realize, you feel inadequate? Because we've buried these things, we don't trust others. We build this protective wall. You're not gonna hurt me. You're not gonna hurt me. So subconsciously build this protective wall. Amen. We don't let anyone get close, too close. Don't get too close, because I don't want you to find out about me. I don't want you to find out what's really hurting me. So I'm not going to let you too close. Get too close. Amen. Because you know what? You may see my inadequacies. Fear. We walk in fear. You know? Amen. Amen. Do you know that there's another result of walking in this wounded spirit, in this woundedness? Another result is this false image. I got it all under control. I'm good. And that's what everybody says. You're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. But you're not good. Because you're trying to project an image that is false. Because if you see my weakness, you may think less of me. You may think I'm not good enough. You may think I'm inadequate. So we walk with this false image of, I got it, I'm all in control. You don't need to tell me. I got it. I know how to figure it out. Another thing is that we're in the body of Christ, and especially those that have positions in the body of Christ, people come to us for advice, right? People come to us for advice, but the advice we give is tinted. It's tainted.
Tinted.
Yeah, because we are giving it through tinted lens. So you can say it is tainted because we are giving it through tinted lenses. Through our experience in life. I've done that. Mm-hmm. I remember giving somebody advice and I thought it was, hey, that's good advice. That's what that person should do. And then the Lord showed me, you're giving that advice based on your personal experience. You need healing in that area. And you know, we hurt people in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We give them advice that we should have never given them, because we're giving it like one of the women that we know use the phrase, tinted lenses. Tinted lenses. We're giving advice through tinted lenses. Our lenses are tinted. They're not clear. Our spirit is not clear because we are walking around wounded. And we've buried that woundedness so, so deep that we're not trying to be malicious. We're not trying to be evil. We think we're giving good advice. Mm-hmm. It comes from the unresolved negative experiences that we've had. If my husband has been an abuser and a brute, and you want to get a divorce, I may say, go get a divorce. Go get a divorce. You can marry somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying? We give ill advice. I mean, some advice is justified. I'm not saying that this particular advice is not justified, but where's it coming from? You know what is done in today's world? And you're seeing that on YouTube and all this, on these big ministries. They're hiding things. They're hiding abuse of children because we don't want to damage our image. And isn't that true about each and every one of us? Mm-hmm. We don't want our image damaged. Mm-hmm. Another one is we lack compassion. We lack compassion for others. Amen. We do. We lack compassion because we say, you know, there's an expression in Spanish that says, and you that understand, and I will, you know, explain it. We say, que se chave. Don't we say that? Que se chave.
Say it,
you know what that is? That's basically, oh, well. Oh, well. And then that means, well, too bad. You got yourself into the mess? Too bad. Oh, well. That's a lack of compassion. Because we're not looking through the eyes of Christ. We're looking through our eyes. We are saying, well, I got through it. I got through it. So figure it out. You can do it. That's not the Lord. But we're walking wounded. We're wounded soldiers. We're given ill advice. And we need to be healed. Each and every one needs to be healed. We have to ask. We need this healing because...
Amen. Amen.
You're in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We're in the body of Christ. What are we supposed to be doing? We're not supposed to be oppressing people. We are supposed to be developing people and pushing them forward to what God wants with them. Because God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't love me or you any more than each other.
Amen.
Right. No one here has arrived, but God is helping us to deal with the issues, the buried things.
Amen.
I remember when I first came to Florida, and I've shared this with others, and I'm just going to briefly give you. I remember going to see a friend of mine, and we would pray together. And one day she said to me, "What is it that you have buried? The Spirit is showing me that you have something that you've buried." And I said, "Not me." And I really couldn't think of it. I really could not. It wasn't welling up in my spirit. She goes, three times when I went to pray with this person, she said, "The Lord keeps revealing to me that you have something buried." So I started to pray. And the Lord showed me, yes, you've buried this. You've buried it.
Mm-hmm.
And it welled up in my spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll just leave that there for the time. So what have you buried? What has been done to you? Mm-hmm. How have you been wounded? And you know when we really get wounded, for the most part, by those you love, by those you trust. People that you don't care about, you can say, oh, well, you know what I mean? But those you trust, the people you love, the people that have professed to love you, when they come against you and you experience negativity from them, your spirit gets wounded. So how can we heal? How can we be set free? How can we be set free from this woundedness that has infiltrated our soul? And we buried it deep, deep, deep in the subconscious. Well, let's go to what does God's word have to say about it? Well, we're Christians, right?
That's right.
But you and but others don't know, but we know that in order to effectively deal with anything like this, we need to be saved. A person needs to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be saved. And we need to walk in freedom. Those are the two things that will enable us to deal with this, to get rid of it. Amen? So let's talk about salvation first. We all know the scriptures in Romans, 9:10 or 10:9, where it says about salvation. Amen? We know the scriptures, right? It tells us that we know that when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what do the scriptures say? It says that you're a new creation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says you're a new creation. Let me go there. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Second Corinthians 5:17.
And it reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? That's what it says. But what should you ask about that? What is the question that should come from you about that?
How am I new?
Or, but if I'm a new creation, right? If I'm a new creation, why do I still view things based on the negative experiences? If I'm a new creation and old things have passed away and all things have become new, why am I still walking in this woundedness? Mm. Have you ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. See, when I looked up this scripture, it's been on my heart, the scripture, and I said to myself, okay, but people are going to read that, and they're going to, if they think about it, they're going to say, but why am I walking like this? Why do I still feel like this? Amen? So what does that scripture really mean? That's what you should ask yourself. What does it really mean?
Oh, amen. Amen.
It means that our identity has changed. Your identity has changed. You and I are no longer a fallen version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're no longer that sinful version of ourselves. Hallelujah. We're no longer sinners. Hallelujah. We are seen as righteous. Amen? Mm. And why? We are seen as righteous because of what Christ has done on the cross.
Amen.
So we're righteous. It's righteousness that has been imputed to us. Amen. It's been given to us because of what Christ did. It's how God sees us. He sees us as righteous. Mm-hmm. Right, Pastor? He sees us as righteous. But not because of what we've done, because of what Christ did. So it's your identity. Your identity has changed. Amen? You're going to heaven. You and I are going to heaven. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
But at salvation, our soul, at salvation, when we first become saved, our soul, your mind, your will, your emotions are yet to be renewed. They have not been renewed.
That's right.
So your soul still feels the impact of what was done to you. Yes, you're a new creation. Your identity has changed. God has erased from him. God has erased all the things we did that didn't please him. He no longer sees them. He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees Christ. He sees righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
But the soul has to be renewed.
That's right.
The soul. Because that's where you're harboring everything. That's where you're harboring your woundedness. That's where you're harboring negative experiences. That's where you're harboring all the misunderstandings.
Amen.
So in order for us to walk in freedom, in this liberty, amen?
Amen.
In this liberty that God has afforded to us, we have to be born again, and we have to have our soul renewed. And that's what people fail to see. Oh, she's a Christian. Why does she walk like that? Why does she talk like that? Why does he talk like that? Why is he such a brute? Why is he so brisk? Why does he treat me like that? Why does she treat me like that? Yes, they're going to heaven. They've been born again. But their soul has not been renewed. And this is for all of us. We all have to have our soul renewed. So what does the word say? What does the word say? Go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. And if you have it, please read it out loud. Romans 1 to 2.
What chapter?
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God.
Amen. You see, the soul has to be renewed. The mind is part of the soul. Amen? The mind has to be renewed because if we want to do what is acceptable to the Lord, then our soul has to be renewed. And if our soul is not renewed, then everything that we do will be impacted by our experiences. Is that not right? Everything we do will be impacted by what we have experienced, whether we recognize it or not.
Yes.
So,
amen.
Everyone here needs inner healing. You cannot tell me that there is not something in your life that has been done to you negatively. It doesn't have to be something physical. It could be just a word. It could be an attitude. It could be judgment that has wounded you. Do you know how many people today, and any psychologist or can tell you this, do you know how many people today are walking in inadequacies because of what they were told as children?
Yep.
Amen. Because of what they lacked as children. Do you know that people today may not know how to raise children or raise them incorrectly because of what was done to them? Do you know that one can, you could be on one extreme or the other. You can be very dominant, very domineering. This is what you got to do. This is how you do it. Or you can be extremely lenient, where you allow them to do whatever they feel like doing because of what you experienced. I was beaten. I was beaten severely. I will never hit my children. That's fine. And I will never discipline them. That's not fine. Amen? Discipline.
Amen.
Disciplining has to do with teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know the word disciple? Disciplining has to do with teaching. Many people are affected. Do you know that, and I'll say this, and my family, our member, are here, but I'll say this. We love our mother. We loved our mother. She did everything for us, but she was not a hugger. At least from my experience, I don't know if my sisters and my brethren, my mother may hug you once in a blue moon, but that wasn't who she was. And for very long, for very many ages, I couldn't hug anybody. And my sisters will tell you that I couldn't have anybody kiss me. I would turn my face away like, oh, God, they're going to kiss me. And my sister Elsie's laughing. My sister Elsie's laughing because, and Liz, because they know it's true. At my 40th birthday, my sisters bought me a kiss stamp as a joke. So they got the stamp, you know, a stamp that you...
I remember that.
An imprint, and it said kiss. And they said, every time somebody goes to kiss you, just pick up the stamp. But that's very simple and hilarious. But that's how what we've gone through impacts us. Amen?
Yeah.
Things, you know, God has welled up. God has shown me things that I buried deep, 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 and I didn't know I buried. Mm. So, you know, so we have to be renewed by the Word of God. So, you know, the Word of God says, I think in James, the Word says that the Word is a mirror. A mirror, and it shows ourselves, like, and it shows when you read that Word and you're born again. So since you're born again, the Holy Spirit will illuminate you. And when you read that Word, it shows, oh, wow, I'm not doing that. I'm not behaving like that. Mm-hmm. This is wrong. That's why you need to renew your mind with the Word of God. We need to see, what does the Word say?
Mm-hmm.
Negative experiences. What is it? You know, how do you react? How do you react? Do you fly off the handle because somebody said something?
Oh.
It's based on your woundedness. Do you feel offended every time somebody tries to correct you in something in love? I don't mean correct people, not in love, because we should never do that. But correct people in love. Have you been offended?
Mm.
These are the things that offend us, you know? And therefore, we react based on the offense. You can't tell me anything. You know, that kind of attitude also. God has showed me so many things. God showed me, treat people where they're at. Don't expect them to give you what they cannot.
Amen. Amen.
Help me love people. And he told me that many years ago. Don't expect what people can't give you. Even in ministry, Pastor Bernice could tell you that. I wanted everyone to teach. And God showed me. I didn't call everyone to teach. I gave them different gifts. Why do you want them to be like you? You see? Those are things that, you know, we have to deal with. Anyway, so let's move forward. Now, so what do we do about this? How do we receive inner healing? What do we do about it? Well, first thing is prayer. Through prayer, you know, what does the Word say? Let me read this to you. John 16:13. You know, I'm in family here, so this is how I teach. John 16:13, it says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own will, but will speak whatever he hears, and will declare to you things that are to come. But let's not only deal with things that are to come. It's the Spirit of God that reveals. So we have to ask the Holy Spirit. And I did that. Have you ever been bothered? Mm-hmm. Yes. Everybody say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Been bothered, but you don't know what's bothering you. Yes. Thank you, Vinny. Yes. I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've been so bugged. And one day I finally said to the Lord, I said to the Holy Spirit, why am I so bothered? What is nagging at me? What is bothering me? And it didn't take long. It swelled up in my spirit. Mm-hmm. He showed me. So can we not ask the Holy Spirit to show us why we're so wounded? Why do I act like this? Why, when someone tries to give me advice, I feel offended? Why do I think they're trying to attack me? Why? Because you're wounded. You're wounded. We're mm-hmm. wounded. Everybody here is wounded. Mm-hmm. I'm wounded, but I've given it to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is my point. Mm-hmm. If you don't go to anybody, don't ask anybody. get before the Holy Spirit. Don't ask the pastor. Mm-mm. She's not the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's inside of you, mm-hmm. but there's one who knows, and he's the one that dwells in you. Right? When we're born again, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He comes to reside on us. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send you the Comforter. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. The Holy Spirit. So ask the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God's mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You don't have to go to anybody. You don't have to feel that you have to share whatever's hurting you with anybody. You don't have to. Bring the Holy Spirit. And he will show you. He will show you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me give you a few steps and we're going to be finishing. Here's the point. Once the Spirit reveals what it is that you've buried, you have to acknowledge this experience. You have to acknowledge it. You can't say, oops, let me bury that again. I can't deal with it. You have to bring it to light. You have to get rid of the denials. You know, we live in denial a lot of times. Nope, that didn't happen. No, I'm not going to go there. No, goodbye. Go back down and down in my subconscious mind. No, look at what's been done to you. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge your emotions. Amen. Acknowledge how you felt betrayed, offended. Amen. Horrified. You have to go through it. You have to go through the experience, and that's hard. The feelings of who betrayed you, who did this to you, who wounded you. You have to. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to ask God to free us. Free us from the binding effects of those negative experiences. Because whether you know it or not, we've walked in bondage. And we've given advice based on bondage. And we've hurt others without realizing it based on bondage. You know, Psalm 14, well, actually 147, Psalm 147, 3. Very, very short verse. It says he heals the brokenhearted.
Yes.
And he binds up their wounds. I can't heal you. I can't heal myself. How am I going to heal you? How's the pastor going to heal anybody here? But he heals.
Mm-hmm.
God is the healer.
Amen.
God is the healer. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And look what Isaiah 41:10 says, and we all know this one. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's the one. He's the healer. He can bind the wounds. He can heal you. Amen. He's your defender. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have to look at it. We have to look at these experiences. We have to bring them to light. We have to go through the pain and the emotion because that's what it is. At least I think so. We don't want to go through that again. We don't want to go through that pain and the emotion. And so as we bury them, we don't go through them. But we have to experience it. You know, you have to experience it to heal. Hallelujah. You have to experience those negative experiences, emotions, feelings, so that we can be healed. Experience the effects of them. Amen. The effects. Hallelujah. And then what do we have to do? No one's going to like this. You got to forgive. You have to forgive whomever did whatever to you. You have to forgive. Forgiveness. Forgiveness frees us. Forgiveness frees you and me. That's what forgiveness does. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And ask God to help you to forgive whoever has hurt you, whoever has hurt you, whether physically, whether emotionally, whatever abuse. Ask God to help you to forgive. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to entertain a person. You may not be strong enough to do that. You may not be strong enough. But forgiveness means true forgiveness from your spirit. Not, oh, well, I'm not, I forgive you. No, no, it's I forgive you from my heart.
That's right.
Some people are not strong enough to entertain those. If you've been molested as a child, you can forgive him because God will give you the strength to do him or her. Because today, both men and women, and I guess ever, are molesting children. You can forgive them, but you don't have to entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be in company with them, but you have to forgive. And you have to forgive yourself. A major thing is that we don't know how to forgive ourselves. Amen? Because let me tell you, we are also perpetrators. Did you figure that out?
Mm-hmm.
We've also done things to people that have hurt people. Whether it's an attitude, whether it's a word, whatever we've done. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And so in forgiving others, we also have to forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot be free if you haven't. You can go through all these steps, and if you haven't forgiven yourself, you won't be totally free. You still have that embedded woundedness. Look at Matthew. Somebody read Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew 6, verse 14.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Amen. Do you recognize? So if that says your heavenly Father will also forgive you, that means that we have also trespassed, that we have also sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to bear this in mind. We got to be willing to forgive, and I mean really forgive. Really forgive. I remember when this incident that I mentioned previously that had welled up in my spirit because this friend of mine, and I know I've shared this friend of mine, after three prayers together, three days of praying, different days, 3 weekends, amen? And the Lord revealed that to me. I knew, first of all, I had to confront the issue. There's no healing without confrontation. And I don't mean violent confrontation. Whether it's within yourself or with somebody else, you do have to do that. And I went to that person. It took a lot of prayer for me to do that. And every time I kept saying, I'm going to do this, Lord, I'm going to do this. And it took maybe a month before I could really confront the person. And I said this and this and this and this. And then I said, I forgive you. I forgive you. After I went through that and I forgave, supernaturally, I felt like I was walking at least a foot above the floor. I felt, and I cannot deny that, I felt like I was walking above the floor. It was like a burden that I didn't know I had because I had buried that experience so deep I didn't know I had. I felt like someone took weights off my shoulders. Literally, I felt like I was walking on air. That's what forgiveness does. You see, you don't recognize what you're carrying. You're carrying all this hurt. You're carrying all these burdens. And you're so used to carrying them, you don't even realize you're carrying them. Finally, recognize that we live in a fallen world. Things are going to happen. People are going to offend you. People are going to hurt you. People are going to misjudge you. People are going to misunderstand you. People are going to say malicious things about you. We live in a fallen world. People are going to minimize you. People are going to look at you like you're inadequate, like you can't compare to somebody else. That's how people are going to look at you. Recognize that we live in a fallen world. Don't absorb it into your spirit. That moment, say, Lord, free me from this offense. Lord, do not allow this to enter my spirit. Put a stop to it right then and there.
Amen.
Put a stop to it. And you'll be able to walk in freedom. Salvation and freedom go together. You'll be able to walk in freedom. When you counsel people, you will counsel them correctly, based on the word of God, not based on what you receive through those tinted lenses, because your lenses will no longer be tinted. Your eyes will no longer be fogged. Amen?
Amen.
Let me leave you with this. Matthew 5:44 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. Love your enemies. That's hard, but that's what God is telling us to do. Mm-hmm. Because we were enemies of God. And yet he loved us. He loved us enough to sacrifice his only son.
Amen.
Because he loved us enough. God is not asking none of us to sacrifice our children. God is not asking us to sacrifice our loved ones. God is asking us to open up your spiritual eyes.
Amen.
And see. And love your enemies. And forgive them. And if you can't do this, we have the Holy Spirit that can help us. Amen. Amen. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for those with whom you do not agree. Pray for them. Pray for those in authority. Pray for them. Don't speak ill of anybody. Try to. And let me tell you, we have a lot of reasons we can justify speaking ill of people, but we're wrong. But we're wrong because God is telling us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute. So we each need to pray. Amen. And I'm going to leave you with this. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. Remember that God is your provider. We sang that today. Jehovah Jireh. God is your provider. Do not walk in fear. Walk in the freedom and the liberty that God the Spirit has afforded to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.